Hello, who the f*** is this?
I'm calling to talk about a possible appointment to Ken Rudensky on the podcast.
Oh, okay. So you're podcast candidate number one. What do you got for me? Uber est mea.
Boy, I hadn't thought. What if I upped my annual contribution to my local public radio station?
You're going to have to do better than that because this is f***ing golden.
You know, I could get you one of those Nina Totten bags from the NPR shop. Maybe two.
Welcome to It's All Politics from NPR News. I'm Ron Elving.
And I'm Ken Rudin.
And Ken, I'm so glad you decided not to leave the podcast.
Thank you for not accepting that offer.
We were having a little trouble replacing you.
Yeah, it didn't seem like there were a lot of trouble. There were a lot of podcast candidates.
Yes, there were a lot. But, you know, we were having trouble finding one who was really willing to give value.
Speaking of which, there were apparently seven people who were willing to give value in the state of Illinois.
Well, there are only 100 seats in the United States Senate.
Right.
And how often do you get the opportunity to pick one up for a mere, say, $500,000?
The Rod Blagojevich story is one that just keeps on giving, and it has so many different facets to it.
Okay, well, let's start with this one. What do we think is going to happen to Rod Blagojevich? Is he going to step aside? Is he going to step down? Is he going to step somewhere? Is he going to get out of the picture?
Well, he has given no indication he's going to resign, although there's a possibility that that could be part of an ongoing conversation with federal prosecutors. I resign, you get rid of some of these charges against
me. Or send me to jail for only a decade or
two. Which is pretty short for a governor of Illinois.
Right now, that would look like a good deal.
But on Monday, there's starting a special session in the legislature. They could call on impeachment proceedings.
They'll probably start impeachment proceedings, and they'll try to strip him of his power to appoint someone to the Senate.
Well, to jump to that subject, Harry Reid said, look, just because
Senate Majority Leader of Nevada.
What are you, working on C-SPAN?
Yes, I'm working on Whispering Joe Thompson.
So, okay, but Harry Reid did say, the Senate Majority Leader did say that just because Blagojevich names somebody, that doesn't mean the Senate will have to accept him.
No, the Senate actually has the power to determine its own membership, and in the end, they could refuse someone. Very unusual. Obviously, this would only be the most extreme cases, but we're in a pretty extreme case here because the entire country has read transcripts of Rod Blagojevich acting like Tony Soprano and auctioning off Barack Obama's Senate seat. As the man becomes president of the United States, the guy back home is literally putting his Senate seat on the block and looking for what, $500,000, $750,000 in cash or in fundraising pledges or perhaps a job or a promise of something down the road. Just extraordinary.
A job for his wife, perhaps a cabinet appointment, an ambassadorship. I mean, we don't know if the intercept, the recorded conversations is part of a delusional mind of Rod Blagojevich.
And some people do think that the guy is suffering from something, that he's just off, you know,
I think it's
from
called
normal human
I think
behavior.
The official word is Blagojevich.
Yeah, I think it's probably more like hubris than anything else. But let's just say if he survives without resigning and it takes some time, weeks, maybe months, to actually perfect an impeachment proceeding, it's not going to happen next week. If he doesn't step down, there's really no clear path to a new senator here except perhaps to have sometime in the spring a whole election in Illinois, $45 million, $50 million, to have a whole separate election to elect someone to replace Barack Obama.
Or the legislature could take away the power of appointment from Blagojevich
to give it to someone else? How do you do that?
Well, Lisa Madigan talked about going. Lisa Madigan.
She's
a state attorney general who is a longtime rival of Blagojevich.
Also was, if you will, podcast candidate number two. No, she was Senate candidate number two.
And of course, she was a possible appointment because Blagojevich wanted to get her out of Springfield or out of Illinois because she was going to challenge him for the governorship.
In 2010. He does not have term limits, as so many governors would have.
Right.
He does not have to leave office automatically after 8 years, although it would appear he will be leaving office
less than 8 years.
Yes, now 8 years probably sounds pretty good.
So, I mean, the power could be taken away from him temporarily. He could be deemed unfit, is what Lisa Madigan suggested that she might do. Pat Quinn is actually talking about the
lieutenant governor,
who is a Democrat who also has not talked to Blagojevich in years. They are not close, never been close. Pat Quinn says, I don't want, as Dick Durbin and others have suggested, a special election because...
A couple of reasons. It costs a lot of money.
And
but more important, a Democrat might not win.
Exactly. An appointment is a guaranteed Democratic successor.
For at least 2 years.
And given the fact that so many of these Democrats did make it clear that they wanted the appointment, Congressman Jesse Jackson Jr., Louis Gutierrez, Jan Schakowsky, Danny Davis.
All congresspersons.
All members of Congress, all Democrats from, you know, the Chicago area. Are their political future, are they toxic? Are their political futures in turmoil? I think they are, at least at this point.
Now, how much is this going to come back to bite another Chicagoan, Barack Obama?
Well, Barack Obama said at a press conference on Thursday that he has absolutely not had conversations with Governor Blagojevich.
Absolutely none. No contacts, not at all.
Now, remember, David Axelrod a month ago said on Fox News, I know that Obama has talked to the governor about this Senate seat, but then again.
Yeah, well, but then when confronted with these accusations, let's hear what the president had to say.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Sorry, wrong president. That was not what Barack Obama had to say. Here's what Barack Obama had to say about these outrageous accusations.
I have never spoken to the governor on this subject. I am confident that no representatives of mine would have any part of any deals related to this seat.
So, Ken, I put it to you. What will be the fallout? Because we know that between these two politicians, there was no love lost. Rod Blagojevich and Barack Obama had not been close. However, they share an awful lot of points of contact, among them Rahm Emanuel,
the
chief of staff to Barack Obama.
Soon to be, right.
Previously, he had been the person who strategized with Rod Blagojevich, helped him become governor in 2002, took his seat in
the House of Representatives,
and got his own political career going. So very close to both, obviously a conduit between them. Hard to believe there wasn't some contact through Rahm Emanuel about this appointment to fill the seat. It's hard to see there's not going to be some blowback on Barack Obama from all of this.
Do we think, is it possible that somebody in the office of U.S. Attorney Patrick Fitzgerald, who conducted the investigation, tipped off somebody in the president-elect's office saying that
there's a shakedown going on?
We are bugging the phone and be careful?
Well, that's possible. Certainly if there's a friendly in there somewhere. I mean, Patrick Fitzgerald's a Republican. He doesn't necessarily have any truck with the Obama
people. Is he a Republican?
He is a Republican. Is it possible it went back the other way, that some friend to Barack Obama, Valerie Jarrett, somebody else whose name had been mentioned and who might have had a conversation with the governor about the appointment, might have come back to Obama or his people and said, you know what, they're shaking people down for this thing. They want to see cash on the barrelhead. That's another way that this thing could have gotten to the point it's at now.
I suspect that in the long run, there's not going to be major fallout for Obama as he's, you know, in this transition period. But think of the things that have happened since November 4th. Republicans won the Senate race in Georgia, the runoff.
As expected.
They picked up a congressional seat. This
in
is not
New Orleans.
Accepted. Yes. Not accepted.
Yes. And we're going to talk about that again in just a moment.
And, of course, and the Blagojevich thing. I mean, it's you know, it was funny. On November 4th, Democrats were all smiles. They were excited. Republicans had their, you know, tail between their legs. And now things certainly have changed, at least as of now.
Here's another very similar case, at least in terms of the setup. And that is that by appointing Hillary Clinton to be Secretary of State, Barack Obama has opened yet another seat in the Senate. This would be the third besides his and Joe Biden's. And what is Governor David Patterson of New York going to do to fill that seat?
Well, that will not have the kind of controversy that we're seeing in Illinois. This will be the Governor Patterson will make the appointment. It's interesting. Once upon a time when we thought, and a lot of people thought, that Hillary Clinton was going to be the next president, Governor Elliot Spitzer was going to name David Patterson to the Hillary Clinton Senate seat when she became president. Having said that, David Patterson is now the governor, and there are like 8 million New Yorkers who are up for this. One name has been mentioned more often is Caroline Kennedy, the daughter of the late president, of course, the niece of Robert Kennedy, who once held the Senate seat.
And the niece of Ted Kennedy.
Right, who apparently earlier
has really been encouraging her.
Well, that's what early reports said, that he had been lobbying it.
But he wants to keep a Kennedy in the Senate.
Right.
There's been a Kennedy in the Senate continuously since 1952.
With a slight break after Kennedy was elected and before Teddy was old enough to hold the seat.
Oh, that's right. They had a placeholder for a very short period
Benjamin
of time.
Benjamin Smith II.
That's right. Yes. A household name.
Yes, and in the Smith household.
And so with that exception, there has been a Kennedy in the Senate for 56 years, and Ted Kennedy, facing the health issues that he is obviously concerned that we bring in a new one.
Now, of course, Patrick Kennedy is talking about it in Rhode Island, but there is no opening. Right, but there is no Congressman Patrick Kennedy in Rhode Island, but there is no opening. Sheldon Whitehouse, what a great name for a senator.
Yeah, cut to the chase.
Exactly. And
Jack Reed.
Jack Reed.
They're not going away. No. And so there's really no immediate route for Patrick, but there's a very immediate route for Caroline.
What I've heard is that one of the reasons Caroline Kennedy's name seems to be mentioned so much is that it's a distraction. It keeps people preoccupied while David Patterson's trying to come up with a reason not to name State Attorney General Andrew Cuomo to the seat. Cuomo clearly wants it. His people want him to have it.
And he, of course, is the son of Mario Cuomo.
Mario Cuomo, and of course, who's very, very ambitious and apparently not David Patterson's best friend.
No. So Patterson would prefer not to give this enormous gift to Andrew Cuomo, but he needs somebody else, and he needs somebody else who would probably be able to discourage any challenge in the 2010 primary.
And I'm not convinced it's Caroline Kennedy. My gut tells me that if anybody is going to be named to the Senate seat, it would be one of two members of Congress, Kirsten Gillibrand from the Albany-Hudson area, or maybe
upstate.
Brian Higgins from western part in Buffalo. No?
I can't believe it, and I'll tell you why, because I just can't believe that the New York City metropolitan area is not going to produce a challenger to either one of those two people in 2010. And Caroline Kennedy would be much more difficult to challenge.
True, but of course, if you have a governor from New York City, you have a Senator Chuck Schumer from New York City, the Democrats would love to have some geographical balance.
I think he was going to go with Caroline Kennedy. I think in the end he'll go with the national figure and all the, you know, approval that will be showered on him for having done so, not only by the media, which love the idea of Caroline Kennedy, but also by the powers that be of the National Democratic Party. Okay, Ken, I have two words for you.
Uh-oh.
On Cow.
On Joseph Cow.
Yes, and of course, we had talked about On Cow frequently during the podcast over the fall.
In an overwhelmingly Democratic and overwhelmingly African-American district, although
we need to say
Katrina,
it was two-thirds African-American in 2000.
Right.
But after 2005, it might not have been even majority.
Well, it is majority, but still nobody, he was completely underfunded. Nobody ever heard of him. But they did hear of Bill Jefferson. They did hear of $90,000 in his freezer.
16 indictments.
Now, they did hear that in 2006, but of course, that was pre-indictment. I mean, we knew about the freezer in 2006, but the indictment came in 2007. And you think New Orleans residents, Louisiana residents, who are used to corruption, shall we say, we've seen Louisiana corruption in the past, and yet they voted Bill Jefferson out of office.
Interesting, Ken. We've talked a little bit about corruption in Illinois, and you just alluded to the notorious reputation of Louisiana. Which state in the union has had the most governors fail to complete their term because they went to jail?
Well, I would say...
Is it Illinois? Is it Louisiana?
No. I would say the answer is Arizona.
Arizona. Would that be Ev Meekum and Fife Symington?
It would be. And actually, I heard from one resident of the state of Arizona, we don't want to wait for corruption. If you think of Otto Kerner and Dan Walker and George Ryan,
All jailed after they left office.
After they left office as governor of Illinois.
Yes.
Right, exactly. Whereas Evan Meekum was impeached and removed from office. Fife Symington was involved in a financial scandal, resigned from office because he was about to be thrown out. In Arizona, they did not tolerate it.
No. Western justice, frontier justice, if you will, is swift and terrible. All right, Bill Jefferson, not quite so swift, but in the end, he lost 50% to 47% in this strange Louisiana system whereby, thanks to Hurricane Gustav and some very weird rules and laws, they've finally had their last votes for Congress just now in December. And Bill Jefferson was defeated, surprisingly, largely because that African-American population in New Orleans had been depressed. It had gotten much smaller after the hurricane,
they also
but also
didn't
because
vote.
They didn't vote.
They didn't come out. They came out on November.
It's been estimated that only 1 in 9 African-American residents of that district turned out to vote, and that's why Bill Jefferson is gone.
Had this general election been on November 4th,
which would have been, had it not been.
Well,
and in fact, he did win
the
first
Democratic
round.
Runoff.
That's right,
Democratic
the first round of the balloting there, which is actually the second of three rounds for that congressional seat. And he was fine on election day, and he was fine in October, but not when only 1 in 9 African-Americans turned out to vote.
I think, do we agree? I mean, who knows, of course, but do we think that
gone
Joseph
in 2 years.
That's what I think.
Now, we'll get to know this guy, and maybe he turns out to be like Bobby Jindal or somebody else, a sort of a miracle working
Republican.
It's a
great story. First Vietnamese American ever elected to Congress.
That's right, and maybe he'll just turn out to be a tremendous success story, and people will decide to rally around him. But much more likely, one of the many black politicians in New Orleans who's been trying to challenge Bill Jefferson over the last 18 years will finally get their chance and
although,
get elected in 2010.
If the black political establishment in New Orleans does what it's been doing lately and failing to coalesce behind one alternative candidate, they could have the same problem. But Bill Jefferson, for the record, the first African-American ever elected to the state from Louisiana, Lindy Boggs district.
That's right.
She retired in 1990 because African-Americans said, look, this is
It's a black district.
It's a black district.
Right. Now, we said Republicans have been having a little more to smile about in some of these instances. New Orleans, Illinois, Georgia. Does that mean that Mike Duncan, their current Republican National Committee chairman, can count on being reelected in their annual meeting of the Republican National Committee in January? I put it to you, Ken.
Well, you know, usually we don't pay attention too much to Republican and Democratic National Committee members.
I'm not
chairman,
paying attention now.
Although we did with Howard Dean, and I suspect that the next Democratic chairman will not be as influential or at least well-known as Dean.
Because there's now a Democratic president.
Exactly.
So chairs get important when they don't have the White
opposition.
House. That's right.
In their opposition. So we, of course, remember Haley Barbour when he was chairman.
It was 93 and 94.
So
it was
Bill
exactly
Clinton.
The period
exactly.
of time when Bill Clinton was, if you will, dismantling the appeal of the Democratic Party in the South, and along came Haley Barbour with a party of his own and sold it big time. Rising tide was his big theme. Now, I don't see a Haley Barbour on the horizon for the Republicans right now, and I don't think it's Mike Duncan, but right now it's a little bit hard to vote against him because he's doing better.
Well, he is doing better. There are also the Republican chairman of Michigan is talking about running. Katyn Dawson, the Republican chairman of South Carolina.
And the Republican chairman of Michigan is?
Saul Anuzis.
Thank you, Ken.
Okay. Michael Steele, the former lieutenant governor of Maryland, is a possible candidate. He's African-American, as is Kenneth Blackwell, the former state attorney general. The former state
Secretary of State of Ohio
ran for governor.
A tremendous, tremendous launchpad for a national political career, being the Secretary of State of Ohio.
Well, he almost ran for governor.
And got 37% of the vote. And now, worst of all, he's been endorsed by Steve Forbes.
Oh, you know what that means?
Dead. And so is this week's political podcast.
You can follow NPR's political coverage at npr.org/politics.
I'm Ron Elving.
And I'm Ken Rudin.
Join us again next week for It's All Politics from NPR.